It's time to get brutally honest.
15 retired NHL stars that have smoking hot wives.
I think
Steph made it at 7.
I love Steph.
Yeah, but some pretty big names in there.
Like number 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's ranking this?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We might have some beef in the city of Toronto, and I am enjoying it.
Really?
Well, Bruce Arthur, the star, boy Bruce, is going to join us in studio in about 10 minutes.
He likes causing a stir, doesn't he?
Bruce had a really interesting piece that went up online last night, and it was in the paper this morning, just about where the Raptors find themselves, because the NBA is going crazy.
Yeah.
Like, now there's rumors Kristaps Porzingis could be traded by the Knicks.
Is that Phil Jackson
is a disaster.
He's what happened to that guy?
He's the Joe Sakic of the NBA.
You know who he is? Yeah.
That's what he is.
He claims to have all this zen and that. The guy's completely out to lunch.
Joe Sakic has been a disaster in Colorado. No one wants to say it because everyone loves good guy Joe Sakic. But let's be honest, he put together one of the worst teams of the 21st century.
He did? And I think it's because he's been on vacation. I don't believe that, like, a general manager has to put in the time.
I think the same thing applies with Phil.
Phil Jackson's
Phil's
like
in Montana half the year.
Yeah,
like, he's taking the bus to the garden.
Yeah,
he's tweeting, you know, troll jobs out there. I think both of them obviously had great careers as players. Jackson as a coach as well.
Right.
He had a history in New York. Sakic a history in Colorado. They got hired based on reputation in blind hope that everything would work out. Has not worked out in Colorado. Obviously has not worked out with the Knicks.
Who's worse? What's the worst?
Well, like, Colorado, this was rock bottom. Like, think about how awful that year was.
Right.
Like, as bad as the Leafs were a couple years ago, Buffalo 2 years ago, Colorado was worse than all of them.
Yeah.
That's like the worst team we've seen in 20 years.
In a while. And it's just like, the Knicks are such a, I guess
they're just
such
always
a,
bad.
I know, you know, but they're always such a punchline, a cornerstone franchise. Are they not? Like, from a monetary standpoint, from a
they're the Maple Leafs of the NBA,
right? Like, they're that big of an entity,
right? It's the New York Knicks. It doesn't get bigger than that, or it shouldn't get bigger than that. It has because they haven't helped themselves out. But anyway, there's so much going on in the NBA. The Cavs are firing their GM 2 days before the draft, 10 days before free agency.
I mean, LeBron's firing him.
LeBron, if you believe reports, was not consulted on that.
Come on. He had one job, to keep LeBron happy. You don't think he consulted him over that?
The only counter I would have is, I wonder if the owner knows LeBron is out of here after next year, and he's trying to take his team back. If this
really
is a power struggle between the owner and LeBron, where the owner's sitting here saying, I have spent a fortune. I'm glad you came back. We won a title. We've gone to 3 straight finals. But they just had the highest payroll, I believe, in NBA history. All the rumors are out there that his wife wants to move back to L.A. LeBron's out of here. Maybe the owner's finally saying, forget it. I got him for one more year anyway, and I'm going to try to take claim of my organization again, because LeBron has clearly run the whole shop here for the past 3 years. But Jimmy Butler reportedly in the news in terms of trades. Paul George is going to get dealt somewhere. And then Kyle Lowry is kind of sitting there waiting to see where he's going to end up.
Right.
And we don't know, but Bruce wrote a piece about how back in mid-May, sources had indicated throughout the league, mid-May, don't forget that, it's now mid-June, that some sources had indicated the league was saying Kyle had a 0% chance of returning to the Raptors. Now we're in mid-June. Things have changed. As Bruce points out, things have changed.
Right.
But it's nice to get the Raptors in Toronto actually involved in something here, because
there hasn't been much going on.
They've been
real dark. Like, not much happening. If the league's on fire,
get involved.
Get in there. Get your nose in there.
The problem
is, you think that's going to even put a kindling on anything?
What?
If you talk to the magnitude about LeBron, all the other storylines,
But is George linked
to... How is Kyle Lowry, like, lighting the fire where they're being relevant in the NBA talks? You think that's a big enough thing where it's like people around the league in the States would be saying, oh, what about what's going on up there?
I would think so. Kyle Lowry's a, what, three-time All-Star? He's a very good player. He's the face of the Raptors, a Raptor team that's been to the playoffs 4 years in a row. I think it's enough to get people interested in what's going on up here. You know my stance on it. I think it's in the best interest of this team to move on. I know it's an unpopular take, and I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think Masai would allow for it or MLSC to allow for it, but I think they got to blow it up because I don't see how, if you bring Lowry back, DeMar back, Casey back, they're going to be the same team. It's going to be the exact same script of the past 2 years, and I've seen that movie twice. I'm not interested in seeing it a third time.
Right.
But I think it's a big enough story. This is Kyle Lowry. I mean, he's a star. He's going to get paid a lot of money. And
you got a pretty big fan base, man. That would be a tough one. Hope you enjoyed the last few years. It was great going to conference final against Cleveland and then Cleveland again. And then it's just, we're blowing it up.
But is Cleveland loading up? Like, is George linked to Cleveland? Like, is there, like, are they trying to do the super team East against the super team West?
They're already a super team.
I know, but are they trying to go over the top?
Like they already are over the top. They're just saying they got Durant. We got to counteract it.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, that's George, what the reports
would
are
Would George
indicating.
Counteract Durant?
He's not Durant, close. But he's very not. Good. He's a really good, similar player, like rangy wing player, two-way guy, can score, can defend, would change the dynamic of the Cavaliers. He's a really good player. And
is it for love?
That was the report, but they were talking about
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, I told you, I don't have a dog in that race, but I just got the sense that the second that LeBron was on the plane back to Cleveland, like he must have walked up to somebody and said, get that guy the hell out of here. I don't know.
Well, he would be the obvious moving piece because Kyrie Irving isn't going anywhere. So if LeBron's coming back, Irving's coming back, in order to get something significant, you got to give up something significant. Kevin Love would still classify as that. So, yeah, that's the report that maybe a three-way deal, Paul George, maybe Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love going out, picks, prospects, or whatever. But there's movement. Like, at least there's big names and there's big rumors. The NHL, what the hell do they have? Well, they got nothing.
Six maybe potential confirmed trades.
Which is awful. Like, how typically NHL is this? No, but this is what they do to themselves all the time. But it's just, they don't do themselves any favors. They release the list...
Yes.
On a Sunday morning.
And they were delayed doing that.
And it
that.
Was delayed.
I don't... Where was, it's were awful. They out the night before that it
I
had
don't
to
know.
Be delayed?
But they never can help themselves. And now they're trying to hold... Now they're trying to avoid these deals getting leaked out. Guess what's going to happen between now and tomorrow night?
The deals will get leaked.
They're going to get leaked out.
Yeah, because somebody from the other side will leak it to somebody and then it's out.
Wow.
An agent will find out, and an agent doesn't have to play by the rules of the NHL.
No.
They can tell McKenzie or Dregs or LeBron or whoever they want.
If Alan Walsh knows a deal about Marc-Andre Fleury, he'll tweet it out immediately.
Well, that's probably true, too.
Right?
He might. You may not even need an insider. The agents will tell you.
Do you think this Kyle Lowry situation, I think it was Naylor talking about it this morning, is similar to Bautista, where there was all these talks of different landing destinations and different possible offers, and then all of a sudden he just ends up coming back here?
It feels like there might be some similarities, and that would get back to Bruce's report that a month ago, disappointed in the way things played out. They got swept by Cleveland.
Philly has interest.
Philly's up and coming, and they've got interest. Maybe he can go home. Maybe Houston comes calling. He goes back to Houston where he spent a few years. Right. Maybe San Antonio opens up a spot for him. And maybe now we're into mid-June, and he's a week away or a week and a half away from signing something, and he realizes, I don't have the options I thought I would.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, the Raptors better find out and they better use it to their advantage. Because another big nugget that Bruce dropped, which I think is more significant.
As far as what? Like less money?
Less money and less term. Because Bruce also reported in the piece that what he's heard is the Raptors have no interest in a 5-year max deal for Kyle Lowry. Like, that might be something you can sell me on. If you're going to continue down the same path, same script, at least make sure you've got a window in 2 or 3 years where you can call an audible if need be.
Right.
Because if you lock yourself in for 5 years with Lowry, that means you've got 4 years left of DeMar at big money, 5 with Lowry. What's going to change?
Well, then you're talking about the same script for 7 years in a row.
4 or 5 years. 45-50 wins, home court in the first round, lose in the second round. I'm not interested in that.
But that's the thing, though. Would the owners of the Raptors be interested in playoffs, money, playoff rounds? Like, that's...
I think they probably
the business
would be
side
interested
of this, let's
in
be
that.
Honest. That, yeah.
I think they would
that's
be interested
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not convinced that they would just blow it up for the sake of blowing it up.
I don't think they're going to. All right, the man of the hour is in studio. Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star. What have you done here, Bruce?
I didn't mean for any of this to happen.
Poke the bear.
How many people do you think have actually read the full piece?
That's a great question. I'm about 90% sure that Kyle didn't read the piece, the full piece. I know that someone else who was angry about it that I talked to didn't read the piece until after we talked. Because the whole point of that column is that in the last, like, 48 hours in the NBA, about 100 things have happened. And they've been stuff that, like, the number one pick got traded to a team that already has number one picks coming. And the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, literally within an hour, went from trying to trade for Jimmy Butler in Chicago to walking out the door. And LeBron's upset. And Paul George is on the block. And all this stuff is happening. And with the Toronto Raptors, they're sitting here going, how do we navigate this? What's the best option? And that's what you have to do in the NBA now, is that things change so fast and so wildly that you have to be ready. And the thing with this negotiation with Kyle, anyone who's surprised that Kyle Lowry grumbles to people, that he's perennially dissatisfied, that he's always upset about something and looking for something to fight, doesn't know Kyle Lowry. He's been doing this for years. It's why he never had a starting job or was fighting for starting jobs in town after town. It's why he was nearly out of the league. It's why when he came to the Raptors sat him down and had an intervention with him. And it's why, during this process, he has since at least February been telling people how unhappy he was as a Raptor, how unhappy he was with the organization. Same old Kyle. And it just happened to get to the point right after the playoffs ended in mid-May, where his people were telling other franchises he has zero interest in going back to the Raptors. Now, that's a snapshot in time. That's one moment. And during the entire process, from what I've been told, he hasn't told the Raptors that. The Raptors, he's been telling, I'm interested in coming back.
But he needs the Raptors.
Exactly.
He needs right. that option, right? He needs other teams to believe that the Raptors are interested. He might be interested in going back. And if the Raptors are going to place a 4 or 5 year deal at Monster Money, obviously the agent is going to say, I've got to use that to get a better deal wherever you actually want to go.
Why he tweets out, Bruce, that don't believe everything you hear? I never said this. It's all BS.
See, I think what he was responding to there was a headline, either on Real GM or Bleacher Report, which said, Kyle Lowry has zero interest in returning to the Raptors. Not in mid-May. Kyle Lowry had, according to his representatives, zero interest in returning to the Raptors. But with Kyle, there's so many point guards in the league now. And the traditional point guard position isn't even the same as it used to be. That there's not that many rooms in the inn, right? Like, San Antonio is a place he could go. But Greg Popovich, what does he like from players? It's guys who are really good people, who are over themselves, who have senses of humor. Kyle isn't really that. Mm-hmm. You only sign Kyle Lowry if you can't get Chris Paul out of the LA Clippers. And you're desperate because you think you have a window to win a title after game one against Golden State. That's the only way that works. But there's not a lot of other places for him to go.
Bruce Arthur of the Star and Studio. I think the bigger nugget in this piece that people I don't sense are focused on, because they're focusing on the zero interest back in mid-May, is the sentence he followed that up with, mm-hmm. which is, quote, the club had no intention of offering a five-year deal. So what does that mean? Like, where do you think the Raptors actually stand in terms of this negotiation? Because Masai's been very open about this. Mm-hmm. Love him, we want him back, which I don't know if that's him posturing to a certain extent, if he really wants him back, if he's fully 100% committed to it. But what's your take or what's your read on the situation in terms of how far the Raptors are willing to go to pay him and to lock him up long term?
I want a convertible sports car. How much is it going to cost me? Because that's the breaking point on this.
What kind?
Yeah. Exactly, right? Like
a 31-year-old
model. I got to be honest, O-Dog, I have not gotten that far along the shopping carousel
exactly.
with four kids.
75 Cadillac Eldorado.
I'm not there yet.
No dice.
But with Kyle, he's 31, he's going to turn 32 next year. He's older. As one guy in the league once told me, the problem with Kyle is he's short, fat, and slow. And he's still a hell of a player. He's the best player they can get. But if you sign him for 5 years, you know there's going to be pain at the end of that. He's not going to be the same player in 5 years. He's just not. If you get him, if you can get him for three, that's ideal. If you can get him for four, that's probably, if they do it, where they wind up, if there is a competing offer that can offer four. And the thing with Cleveland, and Cleveland potentially imploding now, and we're jumping ahead on this because LeBron seemed a little upset, and people in the league were already thinking LeBron might go to L.A.
But that's still a year down the road. Anyway. I mean, that doesn't change this upcoming season.
But let's say you do it. Let's say you say, okay, Kyle, you're a pain, but you're coming back. You try to be better, okay? Try to be less of a pain. You're coming back. Serge, you look older than 27, but you're coming back. P.J. Tucker, you're coming back. We're going to go for it. We're a 55-win team again, which in a LeBron conference doesn't get you that much.
Mm-hmm.
But in a year, if LeBron leaves, Philly is still coming up, not there. Boston is, they might rise, they might not. They got a lot of guys and not that much real talent. They're going to have to get it in the draft. Milwaukee isn't there yet. You could be that team. Because Kyle will be 32, and you're at the beginning of the contract. The window could open.
Well, I think that's what they'd be hoping for, but I look at Boston a little bit differently. I think they're going to be active here. I mean, there are reports they're in on Gordon Hayward, potentially mm-hmm. Blake Griffin. If they end up flipping picks and they get in on Butler or get in on George.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis could be available. There, I mean, there's rumors maybe down the road Russell Westbrook pops up and maybe they tried to court him. I'm not sure that jives with what they just did considering they have Isaiah Thomas and they traded the top pick.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston, at the very least, is at the same levels the Raptors are right now, in my opinion. And wins and losses would indicate that this past year. If they continue to rise, the Raptors got to keep pace with them. So this upcoming season, Cleveland with LeBron is better than the Raptors, will be better than the Raptors.
Yep.
If LeBron leaves, and I'm not convinced it's going to happen, but it's potentially going to happen, then you've got Boston. Philly, if this really works for them, they could be on the rise. Washington's got the backcourt, maybe some money, maybe they start making moves. There's also a team and an individual in particular that scares me, and it's Miami and Pat Riley, because they are going to have a lot of money soon, and they have Miami. And they have South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So the window for me, I'm not sure it's that open. I'm really not as certain it's open. And I think you're gambling on what? Maybe an NBA final and you get swept by Golden State? Maybe.
And that's about what you're aiming for. Like you're aiming for
Is that good enough?
Well, okay, so here's how I could see it. If you don't re-sign Kyle, you have two options. You have a middle road and a bottom road. Middle road is DeMar's your leader and you win 40 games. Great. You're in hell. There's no point to that. You're not getting draft picks. You're not moving forward. Unless you're going to go out and sign a Paul George, which is quite unlikely. You do that because you can't think of anything else to do. Or, Kyle walks, you trade DeMar. And you try to get down into the 25-win to 20-win window for
and
like,
that's
for like
where
2 years.
At. That's honestly
except,
where I'm at.
Except that the franchise's evaluation of the draft the next 2 years is that it isn't that good.
3 years from that, I believe it is, R.J. Barrett is coming through.
So here's,
and that's where it gets intriguing for me.
So here's an alternate scenario. You sign Kyle. He turns 32 next May. You sign Serge. He's older. In 2 years or 3 years, what if they just start going downhill on their own? What if that's your tank? Is your guys got old? Your guys got old fast. And all of a sudden, your young guys aren't that good that they can step in. Norm Powell and DeLon Wright and Jacob Poeltl, they could all be something. But none of them are going to be all-stars. So maybe your tank is more organic, or maybe you just move those deals. Because in the NBA, there's no deal you can't move. So the thing with signing Lowry is, the reason they don't want to go five is they know his body is limited in terms of what it can do. And he's a pain. It's hard dealing with Kyle day in, day out. But if you sign him, and if you keep this thing going and you're a 50 to 55 win team, you still have a chance to change that. You're not locked in. Like, because what did we start about talking about at this beginning of the segment? In the NBA, things change.
Things
so
do
fast.
Change, but not very often do these big names land in Toronto. In fact, it's never happened.
It never happened.
It never happened. So that's why I lean towards the draft, Bruce. And we talk about like 4 years. 4 years is a long time when mm-hmm. you're looking forward.
Right.
4 years ago, the process began in Philly. Now, it's been painful. It has been dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what Masai Ujiri was planning on doing 4 years ago? Blowing it up.
Exactly
That's why
that.
He traded Rudy Gay. He thought he was going to be awful. He had a deal in place with Lowry, but James Dolan screwed it up down in New York, to no one's surprise. He wanted him out.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to bottom out.
Yep.
Now, who knows how it all would have played out, but they could have conceivably been in a situation where Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid are Raptors today instead of the Sixers if that plan worked out. It didn't. They took a different path. But 4 years, again, in the moment is tough, man. But then you wake up in 2017, and who would take the Sixers? Who would take the Raptors over the Sixers today?
I
wouldn't.
I told you the fan base would probably be frustrated with any kind of rebuild. The fan base will put up with whatever you throw at them. Look at the Leafs.
Right.
Everybody always said about the Leafs, that market will never stand for a rebuild. You know what? It was like a year and a half. You think they're happy now?
The Jays went through 20 years, and then they finally got good, and they sold out 50,000 seats every single night.
But what Bruce is saying, which I'm understanding, is you may have the best of both worlds. Potentially, you may get those wins and still keep the fan base around and organically plummet at the right time.
Ideally, that would be great, but that's easier said than done.
Right. None of these roads are certain, right?
Nope.
Like signing Kyle, not re-signing Kyle, keeping DeMar, not re-signing DeMar, trying to tank. You can tank and get the wrong draft, right? Like what you're doing is you're dealing with percentages. And with the Raptors, like, this team is probably better off keeping what it's got. Because if you're just blowing up a 50-win team for two drafts that you're not in love with, to get a great player in the NBA, there's two roads. One is have him be born near you. That's the LeBron James way. That's the way you do it.
Yep.
The other way is through the draft. Because under the new CBA, if you draft your own guy, no one's leaving their franchise unless they decide they want to leave $50 million on the table. If they're that good, $50 million. So the old road was, let's go get Giannis Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee. Masai knows him from way back, going to be a great player. Now, it's Milwaukee plus $50 million. Those aren't great odds.
Tough sell.
So to get to that, if they can make a deal in the next 2 years for a second-tier star, for your Jimmy Butlers, your Paul Georges, your Gordon Haywards, whoever it is, then they could be in a position in a LeBron James-less East to make a final or a two, and that's about the best you can hope for. If you want the great guys, yeah, you need to go down. You need to go down to the bottom of the tank and scoop treasure up. And even that, what are your odds?
Well, 10%? Get to the final and get your ass whooped.
Well, that would be probably what would end up happening. I mean,
you know that
would happen.
Except here's the other thing with Golden State. You always got to remember with Golden State, in 2 years, they're going to have to decide between Draymond Green and Klay Thompson or paying like $100 million a year in luxury tax. They're going to have to trade one of those guys.
If they win three titles in a row, they might be willing to pay that.
Except they're going to lose Andre Iguodala maybe this summer.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose some of their depth. That super team, the CBA is built to pry these things apart. And these might be the last two like this we see for a while, unless the Clippers can go get LeBron with his aging buddies for one more buddy picture to try to win a title.
And that's the rumor out there. Maybe like they acquire Carmelo this summer, and then LeBron signs on. They keep Chris Paul. Bruce Arthur in studio from the Star. Lastly, MLSC obviously factors into all this in terms of what kind of appetite they would have for this potential blow it up, reload, restart. And again, I don't expect Masai to do that. Nothing he said recently has indicated that's the road he's going to take. But if he walked in, like Shanahan did 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be awful. We got to blow it up. We got to load up on kids. We got to take our time. Pain is coming, blah, blah, blah. They did it for the Leafs. They've allowed the Leafs to do it. It's worked out for them. How do you think they would approach that conversation with Masai?
I think it'd last about 5 minutes and they'd say yes.
They'd allow him to do it?
Masai just signed a 5-year deal at big money. I can't nail down the exact number, but it's big money. He's a top 5 paid GM in the league, I believe. He has political capital. He absolutely does. Because if he leaves, who exactly? You used to have Tim Lewicki to go and headhunt executives. Who's going to go headhunt executives now? The guy who used to run the Air Canada subsidiary?
No one even brings up his name. I don't even know his name. The guy who runs MLSC now. Like, no,
you never hear from him.
Frisdahl.
Yeah. Frisdahl, that's it. Because for years, Petty and Lewicki, well, they were in the news every day.
They were figureheads. They were big.
Right.
I mean, they were
planning
larger
parades.
Than life.
They were talking about stuff.
Lewicki surfaced recently,
he's in Seattle.
Like, and the owners are a little busy running companies that generate billions and billions and billions of dollars every year. Do you think they're going to go find the next great NBA executive to come be in Toronto? No, Masai's got some road here. If he wanted to do it, he could do it. He's now in a Pat Riley situation in this town. He's here as long as he wants to be, I think. And if he walked in tomorrow and said, I'm going to rebuild, I think they'd say, okay, we trust you. Now, let's say he does that and it doesn't work and there's disasters for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe it changes then. But he doesn't have to play that card now. If Kyle Lowry comes back, he can push that card down the road.
Great stuff, Bruce. We appreciate you sticking around, man, and popping in studio.
My pleasure coming in, boys.
All right, there he is, Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. As for the Leafs, George McPhee said something very interesting about Lou Lamoriello. I'm not sure we'll ever see him again. We'll tell you about that next.
Let's stop this conversation right now. Because I'm not having any of it.
No?
Well, you got to tell the audience what we're speculating about.
Well,
you're not.
Brucey talked about, you know, you got to have a guy from your hometown. If 34 from the Leafs ever decides he's going out west at an early age, there'll be problems on this show.
It would serve Toronto right. It really would.
Oh, really?
Dude, we've been stealing other teams' players
Stamkos
for years.
Stamkos is coming home. Tavares is coming home.
PK's coming home.
Everyone from Toronto's coming home. Clarkson came home.
Yeah, but they haven't, so stop it.
Well, I know that they haven't, but still, like, how many times last year, I remember doing interviews with the Tampa Bay Tribune or whatever it was.
Yeah, Joe Smith.
Joe Smith. He'd call me up every couple of months. Can I get a take on what's going on with Stamkos and if he's coming to the Leafs?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Call me whenever. I'll give you a take. And it would be in the paper down there. Brian Hayes of Overdrive thinks Stamkos is coming home. A total troll job for the whole circulation down there.
How about this to haunt you? I'm taking my talents to the desert to join the Coyotes.
TSN would love that.
Imagine, the announcement.
Imagine that. Duffy sits down with Matthews in 6 years, and they do a big spiel, and then finally he goes,
I'll charge the set and bowl him over. I will charge the set and knock him and Duffy over.
I'm taking my talents to Arizona.
So, and joining the Coyotes.
So one of the beat writers down there, her name's Sarah McClellan. So Sarah McClellan keeps calling Brian Hayes, and listen, I need a comment on Austin Matthews coming home. Do you imagine?
I wouldn't do that interview.
Of course not. Why do you even? He's the one who brought it up. I'm of the belief that that's not going to happen. It always could happen, but let's not forget, Austin's 19, coming 20 in September. It's a long ways away, a long road away, and if you've won something and you're happy about it, maybe you can live with something consequences, put it that way.
How great will a long-term contract be, though?
Exactly.
Next summer, they can sign him long-term.
8 years.
Imagine they give him an 8-year deal.
10, 12, whatever.
Money.
Blank check.
It's relevant, but ultimately the security of him being here for at least 10 years at that point.
Exactly.
Or 11 years at that point. 11 seasons. Guaranteed 11 seasons. Would you take that right now?
Yeah.
You don't think people in Edmonton have had that conversation about
McDavid,
97?
Get him signed? Well, he can sign this summer, right?
Yes, and that's Chiarelli. Chiarelli hasn't even hidden it. He said, I've got two things to do this summer.
Yeah, McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah. And one comes before the other. It's 97, and then it's Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
That's going to be some cake, man.
Yeah, it's going to be some cake, but they...
What's the most interesting extension this summer? There's McDavid, there's Carey Price can get a new deal.
For me, it's McDavid. I just want to see what the money is, because it's going to set the standard for what happens here next summer, I think.
Yeah.
Bill Nylander?
Yeah, that's farther down on the list, for me.
I'm pretty intrigued
Price.
By Bill. I'm intrigued to find out what kind of cake he'd be talking about.
$6 million. That's what
would you think. Give Nylander 8 years, $6 million right now?
Me personally, no.
You wouldn't do that?
No.
Oh?
I'd like to see another year.
Is that his number, six?
Well, I'm throwing it out.
Bobby Mack said that he thought
Drouin
was a bargain at 5'5". He thought he was going to get six. So you put Nylander in that same boat,
mm-hmm.
8 years at six. Me personally, if you're going to pay the guy anyways, I'd like to see one more year. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's
I think that's reasonable and fair and logical.
I don't think even after another big year, he'd be getting more than that anyway.
Exactly.
He might get 6'5" or something.
So, and it's not that you're banking on him taking a dump. What you're banking on is that he...
The weekly dump.
Well, comment. I have to throw it in there, the weekly dump.
Get it
comment.
Out before we get to Chicago.
Exactly. It's you're banking... What you're doing is you're making sure. Because it is a long commitment, and we've talked about this at length. Doesn't matter who, outside of Matthews and I guess McDavid and Price, I don't like anything over 5 years.
I don't love term either, man.
Right.
You almost had a snap show at the beginning of the show, didn't you?
Why is that?
Well, I had to answer a text, and he was on his phone.
I
was talking to a wall.
You were talking to me.
I was talking.
You were not talking to a wall. We can multitask.
No, you can't.
I can.
This is the best thing. Noodles thinks that he can. Oh, at least is gone, and I know he's gone. This is what Noodles does. He sits there and he's texting. And he goes,
"Yeah." I look you in the eyes.
Yeah, 3 minutes in, you
and
were
I
like,
know there, "I know neither of you are." Listening
I look
to
you
me.
In the eyes and let you know that I'm here for you.
You're gone.
If
I
you
know
need
you're
me.
Gone.
I am not. I'm offended. You think that when I go to that, I'm completely
you're
gone.
Gone. He's
How
gone.
Did you pick up on my disdain?
Because I pay attention. I can. No. You just do this little head shake.
I gave the head shake because I was like, "Here we go." I'm 3 minutes in. These guys are both just
no. I'm
gone.
Actually energetic today. I'm fired up about the show. And last night, I felt for a colleague in the baseball industry.
Is that right?
Because
really?
I had my little talking when I thought my mic was off.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounded like this.
Is there ketchup on that?
It's not so bad, right?
No, I mean, it's a G-rated comment, right? It could have been a lot worse, but that's a great memory, I think, from trade deadline.
But my homeboy, Keith Hernandez... He thought his mic was off, and he had this description of the pitcher.
7-7 in the ninth. Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Yeah, he really has.
Roark's been getting his things lit.
That is quite the comment.
Can I hear that one more time, please?
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
I love the play-by-play guy. Gary Cohen, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he really has.
Yeah, you're right.
There was no argument. Yeah, he really
But do you
had.
Think that, I mean, what do you, see, they're a play-by-play when he bring that, oh, hold on, your mic's live. Like, that's sewering
that,
him,
That
right?
would be a sewer job if you came on and you're like, Keith, you can't say that because he didn't realize his mic was live either.
Yeah.
That would pretty much warrant an apology. Like, would he have to apologize to the player?
That might be.
I don't think so.
I don't think an apology. I mean, Roark, you look over, I was looking up his game logs. The guy has been getting... lit.
Yeah.
Like his numbers over his past 4 or 5 starts have been brutal.
He's been getting his breasts lit up.
Yes.
That's what he's...
Exactly.
What...
His breasts have been lit up. Him and Marco Estrada, because Estrada got lit up again last
Ed
night.
Ed Harris. Like, do we... I was telling Hayes off air.
He's ever since we called him Ed Harris.
I was telling Hayes off air, we got to get Mullen to pull the Joe Boo... The whole exercise that he goes through, not the live chicken, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and
the rum.
The rum and all that.
I wouldn't
that.
Be leaving that rum around.
Because
with this
we've got to find a way to get Ed Harris out of this. Because
we got
I think it's Hayes' fault. I'm going to blame it on you.
I'll take the full blame because I was
get
saying.
Get the music
it.
With Joe Boo and the rum.
I was talking about it like I was pumping his tires. I'm
exactly.
Ed Harris
You're a fan.
Fan.
You're
I mean,
a fan.
Old reliable. The guy put up a big outing in the biggest game of the movie.
But either way, what's happened is since you brought that up, this guy's been a gas can.
He has been a gas can, and he was again last night. He was brutal, but they saved him. And they were 0 for 30 when losing going into the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And they picked up a big win last
Thank
night.
Thank God they won because I dedicated, I think, 4.5 hours of my life to that game. It was
the slowest game
so
I've
long?
Ever seen. There were pitching changes. I think because it started at 8 local, it also felt like it was like we had to wait the extra hour to get the
and
game started.
And I think
started.
When it's hot like that, they just kind of move around a little bit slower.
They take their time, man. The umps take their time. Everyone takes their time.
That's the problem with baseball right there, the length of that game.
It was ridiculous. They were 4 or 5 innings deep, and they were 2.5 hours into the game, 3 hours into
it's
the game.
Terrible.
It was crazy.
Got to find
how slow
a way to
that
speed
was.
That game up.
All right, George McPhee outed Lou Lamoriello today, and I don't think Lou's going to be happy about it.
No.
We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. Rays coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Steve Phillips' game time decision. We'll see it if he actually answers his phone. I'll believe it when I hear it. He may join us at 5:30. Expansion draft officially comes to an end tomorrow night, we'll know who Vegas actually took, and then we'll know what kind of deals came out of it. And TSN 1050's coverage of the expansion draft is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today.
I'm a big fan of the 415 in-studio guest, FYI.
Really?
I thought Bruce brought the heat.
He did bring the heat.
He always brings
great.
I thought he was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Kind of sails right into like 4:35.
Yeah, we did extend.
Just kind of kicks off the afternoon, gets it fired up.
Well, usually that opening segment, if we bring the heat, we...
And we did.
We blink and it's 4:26 and we're getting the hairy eyeball from...
Yeah, Steph's Peg always Bundy. On top of that, but...
You guys are talking too long.
She was so proud of that article, too. We didn't even give it to her about that today.
Top 15 hottest wife of an ex-player. I mean, she's playing it down like she's humble about it.
But no, I think the best comment was, like, who's choosing that? That's what you said.
Yeah, no kidding.
I like Steph, but who's choosing that?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Steph. I love Steph. But who is the new guy who played judge on that list?
Yeah.
Anyway, George McPhee, he met with the media today. He was pretty open about what's going on, and... He was getting peppered with how many trades have you made? And someone asked him, like, would you say half a dozen? And he said, yeah, probably around there. So about a half a dozen deals have been done. But he also said that a couple of GMs had travel delays getting down to Vegas.
How? Like, to miss a day?
I don't know.
The hell's Lou flying on the old Cleveland Indians plane?
Because one of them was Lou, apparently. And he said, yeah, we're still talking to Lou.
His private plane. Like, Lou's private plane. He's not flying WestJet.
Well, whatever happened, it's out there now, and Lou's got to handle the heat because, you know, Lou doesn't want people knowing that he's talking to Vegas about anything.
His plane landed, and Steve Keogh probably sent him a note saying, like, your name's out there as far as dealing with Vegas.
Has to. Because, you know, the insiders are calling him off the hook. And like, hey, what can you tell us about what McPhee told us? What do you think he's talking to him about, though? Working a deal out for a defenseman from another team?
Absolutely. Like, what's going on in Minnesota? What's going on in Anaheim? What's going on in Florida with Jason Demers? I know Demers is 29, but there's a guy who could help bridge for a couple years. I don't mind him as a player farther down in your lineup. Like, I don't think he's going to play on your top pairing. But there's some guys out there. What's going on in Ottawa with Mathot? I said this to you, Brian, the other day. Like, you go for the best players available. Mark Mathot is 30 years old. He's a cap-friendly contract. He can play the right side, and he's kind of, you know he can play in the top four. Yes, he's not bringing 65 with him anywhere he goes, so you have to pump the brakes on that. But the guy's a good player, and I know he's a left-handed shot, but if somehow Mark Mathot, I don't know if he landed in Toronto, that would upgrade the D as well.
I wonder if there's a chance there's a fourth-line center available through Vegas that they would look at. Because Brian Boyle was on Leafs Lunch today, and he didn't say much about what he's really thinking. He said he enjoyed his time in Toronto, and his agent and Lou will speak, and they'll leave it at that. I would be all in on bringing him back. I thought he fit in really well. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran guy. He's 33, but he's never been 32. The fastest guy anyway. Right, he's just a big body, kills some penalties, but takes big draws and fits in well on the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
But if he decides to walk, or they decide we don't want to meet that price, they got to fill that role. Because the GOAT, that's not the answer. Ben Smith, certainly not the answer.
And the GOATs have long surgery here, recovery on that.
I think he's out of the picture. I don't think you can rely on Freddie Gauthier. I think they need to acquire a fourth line center. And I'm just wondering, you know, we're so focused on defense, and I would think that would be where they would begin the conversation.
Right.
But maybe there's another guy out there, maybe a center's out there that's available that people aren't talking about, and it's like, wait a minute.
But is
that might be worth.
But is there anybody that into? Off the top of your head, as a fourth line center, you're like, all right, like that would be coveted. That's what I'm just trying to scan
I don't
the list
know.
Quickly. Like
I don't know. But like William Karlsson out of Columbus, I don't know if he would fit the mold. Riley Sheehan is available. I know he had no goals last year. That was a disaster.
But I believe that actually would be a decent pick. Like you can't you have to try hard to not score a goal in 82 games.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if the Leafs are like, hey, we'll
didn't
we'll
he get
take
one in his
on.
Last game?
I think
no,
he did. Did he not
I
score
don't think
in the
he, end? I thought he hit the post.
He scored in the last game of the
did
year.
He? Okay, then.
Yeah, he scored. He actually scored 2 goals in 80 yeah. games last season. I'm looking at a piece right now. So right at the end of the year, he must have potted too quick to save himself. Anyway, we'll pick back up on this with Ray at 5, get his take on if maybe we're focused on the wrong position. Is there a chance that the fourth-line center position is something that the Leafs would be intrigued by?
And a backup goalie, maybe.
And backup goalie as well, because a lot of them are out there. And if McElhinney's not the guy, they have to acquire one. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. About 10 minutes. Steve Phillips as well. The Jays with a big win last night. Big comeback in the ninth. They're back in action tonight. They used up that bullpen, though, and Liriano is on the mound tonight. So could be playing with gas on that front. But we'll catch up with Steve around 5:30. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.